You're listening to Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. Coming up, President Trump has released an outline of his proposed budget. In it, he calls for large increases in defense and homeland security spending and steep cuts to domestic spending. He also wants to completely eliminate 19 federal agencies. We'll get the details. First, there's been a long-running debate over the role of money in American politics and an equally long battle in Congress and the courts over restrictions on political spending. Over the last handful of years, key U.S. Supreme Court decisions have opened the door to a lot more money flowing into the political arena, and the influence of donors was a key campaign theme for both Bernie Sanders and Donald Trump. Our next guest comes at the issue of money in politics from a different angle, looking at who makes the donations, how they compare with the demographics of the public at large, and finding out how those differences can sway public policy. Mostly, he says, those differences pull politics in a more conservative direction. Sean McElwee joins us now. He's a policy analyst for the organization Demos, where he co-authored the report Whose Voice, Whose Choice? The Distorting Influence of the Political Donor Class in Our Big Money Elections. Sean, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Thanks for having me on.
So let's dive right into the differences you found when you looked at donation info. First of all, how do the donors compare with the public at large when it comes to wealth?
Yeah, so what we find is that when we're looking at very big donors, about half of them are millionaires. Those are people who are getting $10 or more. And that compares to about 3% of the population who are millionaires.
And then take us to race and gender. How does that stack up?
Absolutely. So when we are looking at, again, 10,000 or more donors, only 6% of donors are people of color, and people of color make up about a quarter of the adult population, and women make up about a third of donors giving $10,000 or more. So what we're seeing is that among the really big donors, they are much more likely to be white, male, and far, far more likely to have large amounts of wealth compared to the general public.
And do we see any difference between donors to Republican Party versus Democratic Party?
You find differences, but it's really important to note that both parties are drawing from a donor pool that is disproportionately white, disproportionately rich, and at the highest levels, disproportionately male. So Democrats do have far more female donors.
We're talking to Sean McElwee, policy analyst for the organization Demos. He's the co-author of the report Whose Voice, Whose Choice? The Distorting Influence of the Political Donor Class on Our Big Money Elections. He's looking at differences between the public at large and the people who make the larger campaign donations in federal politics and how that affects ideology, policy. And Sean, let's get into that ideology. You started to look into some of the ideological differences on issues between donors and the public at large. And again, given that we see white men overrepresented there, what did you find?
Yeah, so when we're looking at elite donors, those are donors who are giving $5,000 or more, their policy preferences align very well with Trump's budget. On a generic question of how would you balance the budget between cutting defense spending, cutting domestic spending, and raising taxes, the general population is about split, but 42% favor defense spending cuts and 42% favor defense spending cuts and 41% favor domestic spending cuts, and the rest say raise taxes. That compares to only 25% of elite donors who say cut defense spending. The plurality, 49%, say cut domestic spending. So the elite donors, the largest donors, are looking at Trump's budget, and they're not too disappointed.
And then you found that overall it sounds like Republican donors kind of pull their party more to the right than Democrats pull their party to the left. Do I have that right, and how does that work?
Yeah, so what we're looking at is we look particularly in 2010 when there were a lot of really important laws that were being passed. Democratic donors and voters are sort of agreed on these issues. There's overwhelming support for things like the stimulus package, the Affordable Care Act, SHIP expansion, Dodd-Frank. But when we look at Republican donors and voters, we see a lot of differences. For example, a majority of Republican non-donors supported the expansion of the state children's health insurance program, whereas the vast majority of donors opposed that. Somewhat surprisingly, The majority of Republican non-donors also supported Dodd-Frank regulation of big banks, whereas, again, the Republican donors overwhelmingly opposed that.
So what do you make of that in politics? If the big donors who maybe have the ear of politicians are so much different in terms of demographics and in terms of ideology than the public at large?
Well, I think you're starting to see a lot of that in terms of both parties having candidates that are railing against the influence of big donors and the influence that big donors have had over the agenda. And you're starting to see more and more people are really disturbed about the disconnect between the people who are supposed to be leading them and their own views.
Do you see a pushback in the public from that? I mean, do you think these messages from Bernie Sanders and Donald Trump, that obviously they had their successes, do you think that message was part of it?
Absolutely. I think it's really clear that the views among the general public that they are not being represented, while these really big interest groups and powerful donors have the ear of Congress. And you can actually see both Obama and Chris Murphy talking about when they spend all of their time fundraising, it gives them a distorted view of the world in which, you know, marginal tax rates are more important than school lunches. And I think that's disturbing to a lot of Americans.
I want to throw this out to our callers, by the way, at 800-642-1234. Do you see big political donors having too much influence on politicians, on politics? Do you think that their agendas, even if it's, you know, the donors who are donating to the party you support, the Democratic donors if you're a Democrat, Republicans if you're a Republican, do they represent you? Do you think they should have the ear of the politicians that you're voting for? You can call in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. And Sean, when we talk about issues like campaign finance, and we've talked about those for a lot of years, you wrote in a piece about your report that a lot of times we look at this as a good government issue, kind of a civics issue. You say this is a policy issue, and it's an equality issue in some ways.
Yeah, so we argue that, and particularly we've actually done a series of studies on city-level campaign finance, and what we argue is that this should really be seen as a racial equity issue, as a gender equity issue, because wealthy people are certainly overrepresented, but white people are also overrepresented. And in the report, we discuss the literature that suggests pretty strongly that senators respond disproportionately to the preferences of their donors, to the preferences of voters, and certainly the preferences of their constituents. And that can lead to a lot of policy outcomes that have negative consequences across the board.
What do you see as a solution for people who see that as a problem? Is the solution to try to clamp down on money in politics, which is harder to do after Supreme Court decisions, or is it to enable better communication between politicians and their non-wealthy constituents?
Yeah, so I think that there's three core solutions. I mean, first off, you're absolutely right. The Supreme Court is very important. We actually just released a report 2 days ago showing that 45% of the money spent in the 2016 election and about three-quarters of the money spent in competitive races was enabled by Supreme Court decisions like Buckley v. Valeo, like more recently Citizens United. So I think absolutely when we're talking about Supreme Court justices, we need to be talking more about money in politics. I think the second solution is more and more states and localities adopting public financing systems that can allow more candidates to run, have the ability to run, and spend more time directly interacting with their constituents. And the third, and I think this might strike a lot of people as surprising, but is higher voter turnout. When you have half of people voting presidential elections, a third of people voting in midterm elections, and often single-digit turnout in local elections, politicians have more freedom to respond to donors. And we tend to see that the most influence donors can have is sort of on these issues that aren't really in the spotlight. And so having a more informed, engaged citizenry that is calling their representatives, that is turning out in sort of off-cycle elections and primary elections is engaged is something that will definitely threaten the power of donors. And we have actually seen a lot of literature suggesting that higher voter turnout can improve equity in policy, and that the people who call do actually have policies closer to those preferences.
Let's bring on our quick caller. We've got Richard on the line in Madison. Richard, hi.
Hi.
What do you think?
So I think my comment is that when you have large donors that have the ability to fund campaigns in massive amounts, that it dilutes democracy dramatically. I think we should go back to the system where only individual donors can donate to candidates, and it should be a limited amount. I think that democracy is served to a much better extent.
Richard, thanks for the call. And as we wrap up, Sean, the idea, is there a disillusionment going on here, a cynicism that maybe the perception that donors have more influence is helping drive that voter turnout you were talking about, that low voter turnout you were talking about?
I think that's definitely a possibility. But what I would note is that, and I've written a report on this called Why Voting Matters, the best empirical research does suggest that voting is a mechanism that influences how politicians act. And I think particularly voting in elections where there's not a lot of turnout, that is a place where your vote is very important on the margins. And there are lots of ways that individuals and when people come together, they can have influence. And so I would say we should absolutely be concerned about the influence of money in politics, but we shouldn't give up our ability to make our voice heard in other ways.
We'll leave it there. Thanks to Sean McLaughlin, policy analyst for the organization Demos, talking about the American political donor class. Coming up, a look at the outline of a budget from the Trump administration. I'm Rob Ferret. This is Central Time on the Ideas Network.